Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me on Sundays here on KWAI 1080 AM from 8 to 10 AM, where we will discuss waste, fraud, and abuse in government, the environment, and some lighthearted subjects, and other issues you might have. That's Sundays, 8 AM to 10 AM, here on KWAI 1080 AM.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day right here in Hawaii. We're looking out at the Pali. Can't see much of it right now, but still a pic. Just a perfect view, spectacular. I love it. And this morning I have a couple of muckrakers and unhappy citizens like me. I'm in that group. Actually, I have Mr. Al Franken, Francel, and Mr. Jack DeFeo. From Makaha side, and I don't know if many of you know of this topic. It's regarding the Makaha Beach redesign, restructure.
Bridges.
So
and the master plan, Makaha Beach master plan.
And so what's happening, they are here. We're going to be talking about some of the issues and concerns that they have raised and many of them out there. So, gentlemen, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
And
thanks for having us, Carol.
Yeah, let's see here if I got your voice going on here. All righty. Anyway, what is? Can you give us a little? The two of you, give us a little bit of history. What are the issues that you have right now? What are you concerned with? And we'll go from there.
Well, Carol, thanks for having us on the show. We're concerned that a state highway goes right through the middle of a beach park. You know, the Makaha Beach and Makaha Beach Park are separated by a 45-mile-an-hour highway that prevents our keikis and families from going to the comfort station or to the showers or the parking. And so we have this dangerous highway traveling through the park. And this is nowhere else on Oahu where you have this kind of situation. There's 5,400 vehicles a day that travel through there, many of them speeding. And then there's the environmental concern of the where the highway exists itself, because in 1937, the previous road went around the area that's now the beach park. And, you know, and unfortunately, the territorial government put in a highway right next to where railroad was placed. And this railroad was being washed out to sea for every winter storm. And so they had to put a highway or a state route next to it to allow it to be maintained. And then the highway gets built in the same spot, and we're stuck with this route that's way too close to the ocean. It's endangered by high surf and storm conditions, hurricanes, tsunamis. Eventually, it's going to be washed to sea. So that'll be a big environmental concern, and we really, really need, for safety purposes, environmental purposes, to get the highway routed around the Mauka side, the mountainside of Makaha Beach Park. It's a small little change, a minor diversion of where the bridges would be placed and where the highway would go around. And but unfortunately, the state DOT is planning to put, just to replace the current bridges that exist on Farrington Highway, and in the position they're at now, and spend $23 million of our monies building these bridges. Once the bridges are in, the chances of ever getting a Mauka route built at probably a cost of $30 million is very unlikely. And the sad thing is this current project, the $23 million project, 80% of that is federally funded monies. So let's just say hypothetically this project is built, and unfortunately construction begins the end of this summer, or it goes out to bid the end of this summer. And, you know, after the public becomes aware, a feasibility study that's proposed is finaled in, you know, FY15, and the decision is made, say, okay, yeah, we agree with Malama Makaha in doing this Mauka route. That's a good idea. We agree with the Corps of Engineers who said, the Army Corps of Engineers who said in 1985 we should go this Mauka route. And the 1997 beach master plan for the Makaha Beach Park says, yes, we should go this Mauka route. Well, let's say, so in 2015, all of a sudden, the politicians in charge right now say, okay, we agree with Malama Makaha and the citizens and the community of the Leeward Coast to go the Mauka route, and they're going to get a price tag or bill of $30 to $50 million, and they're going to turn around and say, City and County of Honolulu, where's your $50 million to pay for this? And we won't. You know, where's your $50 million to pay for this this route? And, oh, by the way, there will be no 80% federal funding. And the city and county doesn't have that kind of money. The feds do, but the feds are going to say, we just built you two brand-new bridges. We just repaved Farrington through this original route. We're not going to change it. We're not going to move it. This is going to be here for another 7,500 years, and maybe we'll entertain a route realignment then. But for now, if you want to put a Mauka route in, you know, we go for it, city and county, but you're going to pay for it. And the city and county is not going to come up with $50 million. What I'd like to see is the state and the city and county to get together and say, hey, let's back off from the direction we're headed. Let's relook at how we could make this plan happen. How could we make everybody's needs be fulfilled and take this delay this project enough where the funding for it can be preserved and used to pay for the Malka route. And guess what? The Malka route could go in, and the federal money's 80%, state money's 20%. The city and county maybe be asked to kick in a million or two, and the project would be done right the first time with one bill, probably $30 million bill. We save the $23 million. We achieve the safety goal of combining the beach and the beach park into one and allowing our families to enjoy this area without having a threat of vehicles traveling, you know, through it at high speed high rate of speed. And we don't have to endanger the beach with this highway that doesn't belong there in the first place. And finally, we wouldn't have to put a bypass road on the beach, which is going to be temporarily placed there, and potentially being washed to sea and cutting off residents.
Okay. Jack?
Well, what I would like to add is that the will of the community unanimously support the Makaha Beach Master Plan. And what the community has not been informed of is that it's unanimous, number one, and the safety issue can be easily solved if the city and state decide to go ahead with what they proposed in 97 as the Makaha Beach Master Plan. It's a win-win situation for both the city, the state, and the community. The community for decades has petitioned our city and state officials to go ahead and fix a problem that has been so long ignored, and the people are clamoring for the resolution where the beach and the beach park are combined so that the use of that facility can be shared equally within the residents of that community. Mm-hmm. The issue of the safety factors with the bridge, it's somewhat a distraction because the bridges were rebuilt after they had a fire. I think the date that they were reinforced was around 2008. They were approved for heavy industrial traffic. So the issue of the safety of the bridges is a disservice because they had folks, engineers, reinforce the bridge. So
let me interrupt for a half second because the listeners may not understand the difference between the safety concern you're mentioning and the community safety concern, which is the safety on the beach and the beach park. What Jack is alluding to is the DOT comes back in their responses to the Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board as well as Malama Makaha and says, we can't alter the current project. We can't delay it. We can't change it. It's got to go as is because these bridges, the two wooden bridges, they're old, they're dilapidated, they're unsafe, and we can't risk any further chance of them falling apart. So their scream is like Chicken Little and the sky is falling, that the bridges are going to collapse any minute now. But as Jack mentioned, actually the main bridge was rebuilt in 2006 with steel I-beam reinforcement and new timbers. And the secondary bridge was fixed in 2009. So the bridges are really robust and beefy with steel I-beam support, and they're inspected every 2 years. Officially, the state says these bridges are safe, but they like to caveat and say, but if they deteriorate any further, we're going to have to reduce the traffic flow or reduce the weight, put a weight restriction on the bridges. And that's the safety, they say, concern that they'll bring up and you know, basically they're playing the safety card and saying we can't be flexible.
Okay. Now, you want to go ahead?
Well, just as Al was saying, you know, the credibility of that issue leaves it wide open for speculation, because if these bridges were such a safety concern, there is heavy industrial traffic flow 24/7 on those bridges. And if the safety factor was an issue, they would restrict the kind of heavy, everyday, 24/7 that how that bridge is being used today. So it's disinformation at best.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show. I have here as guests Jack DeFeo and Al Frenzel. We're talking about the Macaha Bridges replacement project, and I want to make clear here. This project that is being planned and proposed is a DOT project, right? And the there is city land also involved, like the Haliva'a, the canoe.
Right.
It's going to traverse through. It's going to affect. So I noticed that you'd gone to the city council, and
yes,
you've also written to the governor. And so we'll talk about that and your results and the reply from the governor and the city council, because, I'm always careful to sit down and talk about something. They think we're just you're just another group of people just completely against the government. Anyway,
not at all.
But what people don't understand is that the DOT tend to operate in a fashion they are God in the business, and they force things down your throat. And but what they won't tell us, and this, I'm still waiting, trying to obtain documents. For example, and you said 2006 the bridge was built, rebuilt.
It was rebuilt 2006.
Okay. So what the public don't know, I have a good source of information that says that they don't even inspect. Many of the state projects in the DOT have not been inspected and closed out. So when the safety, there's a big concern. I trust absolutely nothing they've said. In fact, my query into these safety concerns and inspections, that they're allowing these projects to go on for years without ever doing a final report or inspection report to make sure the specs were complied with. The person that was handling that, due to my chasing, they're holding me off at the front door.
Right.
But they're cleaning house because they know that there is some fraudulent practices. And I say that, and I've asked the state for these records, and they want to attach $350 per region, per what have you, and just delaying tactics. So anyway, go ahead and speak to
when
that.
You talk about the state and the report, final inspection reports, we would like to see the final sign-off of the 2006 and 2009 renovations, because those should be able to tell us what they did and the efficacy of those bridges, how much longer they're good for. But you can't find those documents, or at least they won't share them. But those would definitely tell us to the degree the bridges were renovated and tell us how long they're good for. But timely to this is, of course, you had the bridge collapse on the I-5 in Washington State. So last week the DOT spokesman was on the television. And just for statistic purposes, this was the takeaways I received. Was, you know, there's 1,165 bridges. But 440 are functionally obsolete, 298 of them are older than 75 years, 84 are structurally deficient. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, all are safe because they inspect them and try to keep them, maintained as needed. But the Macaha bridges, they're structurally deficient. So are 82 other bridges. But we're asking them, and by the way, those other 82 bridges, they didn't get renovated in 2006 and 2009.
Right.
So there's plenty of life in those.
Mm-hmm.
And we have pictures, if I may interrupt.
Yeah.
And we have pictures that show that they are structurally sound by the renovations that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
We've been asking for an independent engineering firm to do an actual inspection and to give us a lifespan of what these renovations entail for the not too distant future, and that hasn't been forthcoming.
Mm-hmm. We came to the studio today. We crossed, you know, H1 over Holana Street, and that bridge there coming into Vineyard, that is the most used deficient bridge in all of Oahu.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd love to see him take this money from this Makaha project and put it into that, which he needs it now. The Makaha mm-hmm. bridges, they're good for a number of years. And what we want, you know, we want to see the bridges replaced. We want to see the route rebuilt. But we want to see it put where it belongs, where it was mm-hmm. before 1937.
And done right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, spend the money for what the community wants. And but when you talked about the state DOT, what a hierarchy of power. Mm-hmm. My God, we've been working with Miley Shimabukuru, and she's been really helpful as our state senator on trying to pass our desires and requests to the state. And she'll email them with her concerns and the community's concerns. And the state just answers back like they're the gods in charge, and they decide. They're not going to be flexible. They don't bend. I've never seen such an out-of-control organization. Mm-hmm. It's my first dealings with them, and I'm really amazed with their lack of response to the community.
Welcome to the club of brush-off. I mean, and in what I've witnessed with this administration, the Abercrombie administration, it's even more standoffish, more arrogant, and less responsive to the people. But they'll tell you a good smile. And
their lack of transparency is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. We have our state representative, Joe Jordan, mm-hmm. was appointed to the position about 3 years ago by Governor Abercrombie. Now, she's mm-hmm. recently won that position in election, but she was appointed to that. Prior to that, she was the chair for the neighborhood board for mm-hmm. many years.
The Waianae Neighborhood Board, yeah.
She mm-hmm. was the Parks and Rec Committee chair for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And amazingly, that all along the last 2 years, and particularly the last year of this, of our fighting with this issue in the community and amongst the state representatives and the city and county representatives, at no time did she ever speak up and say, State DOT, why are you stepping all over the community's plan that we had approved in 1997 to go Malka? I didn't even know about this Malka plan, or excuse me, the Makaha Beach Master Plan until January of this year. I wish I would have known about it a year ago, so when we were testifying against this bridge project, mm-hmm. you know, when they were asking for a setback variance to get permission to put the bypass route on the beach,
yeah.
And also permissions for permitting. I wish I would have been someone would have spoke up and said, hey, and waived this 1997 plan. It's a final environmental assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of work was done on the entire community worked on producing this project and the conceptual map. It's a beautiful project to mm-hmm. combine in the beach and the beach park.
Well conceived.
And how in the last 2 years did no one ever say, time out? You're stepping all over the community's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Time out. You know, you're not doing what we want. And amazing, there was complete silence from the state rep.
And Joe Jordan.
Yeah, and I think, you know, she's great for the community, but in regards to this bridge project, she's totally co-opted by the Abercrombie administration and is not going to rock the boat.
Well, the general consensus is that when you're appointed to a position, you're obligated to your appointer, the party that appoints you. And our governor, I noticed that on you right here on May, to me, on May 16th, Governor Abercrombie officially responded to our proposal and request for modifying the Makaha Bridges replacement project. His response was to tell us that he forwarded our request to the Hawaii Department of Transportation for them to, quote, report back to you, us, you meaning you guys, directly as appropriate. Unfortunately, the HDOT is where the problem and stubbornness lies, so we expect no changes in the project, and we are only a few short months away from groundbreaking. Now, when you got Abercrombie deflecting and giving it back to the guy that is causing
kicking
the problem.
Kicking the can down the road.
And then, no, kicking the people in the butt. or in
yes.
the mouth. That's what he's
pretty
doing.
Much.
This
pretty
is Neil Abercrombie, you know.
That's the effect.
And yeah, we all have our objections to government practices and some proposals, and we have that right. But to dismiss it just completely 100% by giving it back to HDOT, and then you have Joe Jordan, who I tend to back off and say when we say they're good for the community, where do we start when she's turning her back on this, you know, not to debate that subject, but she should be more aggressive. At a minimum, gain access to the records that you seek so that you can be properly informed to make an informed opinion in your presentations to the city council, to the state, or to whomever, right?
Right.
But that's how I judge good government. She doesn't have to throw herself on the sword for the community, but she should be making pathways to transparency for the people.
Well, as you said, Carol, the result of good government is its responsiveness to the will of the people they serve.
Right.
That has been sorely lacking in this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is not even, you know, an effort made to listen to what we have to say. We're not against what the city and state or the administration has in mind to do. All we want is room at the table, you know, so that we can prove to them and give them the evidence that our position is the position that needs to be taken a look at. And they completely disregard that and put up whatever resistance and closed doors that makes it almost impenetrable, you know, to get a hearing on these issues. We have alternatives, viable solutions that are win-win. And the safety issue of the bridges does not serve the bigger issue of having the beach-going community, whether it be through tourism or the local community there that uses the beach, is crossing that highway. Can you imagine having to take your kids playing chicky, so to speak, of taking your chances crossing a busy highway to get to the comfort station? This happens on a daily basis.
And when you park on the highway, if you don't park in the 30 spaces they have across the street by the comfort station, the only other parking is along the highway. And it's been like that for, well, at least 35 years that I know. And you literally park up to the edge with your trunk or the back of your vehicle on the road, and you're pulling your surfboard. The only way you pull your surfboards, your coolers, your picnic stuff, your beach equipment out of your car is you're standing on the highway pulling it out.
Mm-hmm.
And your kids are running around with you. And you know, I've got video on our website, malamamakaha.com, where during the Buffalo tournament, surfing championship, where families are walking on the road. There's a young lady with a stroller and her child, and there's a skateboarder on the road, and traffic's going by, and there's no place to walk. There's no sidewalks.
This is my always first and foremost is the environmental justice, the environmental racism. And that's...
And discrimination.
Well,
yeah.
Racism, you know...
Goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it's like the baby and the buggy. Let me just put it to you this way. I go through that area every day. It's a major tourist attraction.
That indeed.
Down at the Yokes. And so you got all of that. You got the fishermen. Here's what I simply submit. When I say environmental racism and injustices on this community because they're not affording the justice, two common sense things. They have a practice that they have a food truck to come through there and park right on the street. Every little toddler that I know is willing and attracted to that food truck. They want a snow cone, they want a drink, they want a popsicle, and they dart out in the street. When mom and dad comes in, and I know we can say that, well, they should be more concerned and careful with their children, you know, watch their children when they... But when you pull up and you open your door, this little tot springs from the door. When you figure the number of cars coming through there, traversing that area, it's bound to happen. The second thing is you can't find a clear crosswalk. You don't have a signal, a simple flashing light to warn that you're engaging or entering an area where there are pedestrians. But in Hawaii Kai, Kahala, and all of those areas, Makiki, you got flashing lights and new designs and space age efforts to address these things. So in my opinion, that's why I was really interested in this program that, or this project that you guys and your voice and solicited to come on. It's completely reckless disregard for the community and the needs of that community by both Abercrombie, Joe Jordan, and anybody else that has any responsibility for not pounding the table.
Well, you captured that in a nutshell. You definitely have the you've seen it firsthand, and and evidently these other folks, I know they've seen it. I know they've lived it. It's Miley's beach, mm-hmm. Miley Shimabukuro's beach.
Right.
How can they ignore it? You know, how can they say, I'm going to quote Joe Jordan, that she says, "God, quote, God forbid that someone drives across that bridge and it collapse," unquote.
Yeah.
Well, the chances of that are zero. Mm-hmm. But the chances of someone running over a toddler or a family, mm-hmm. or falling asleep at the wheel or being drunk and driving on the beach and wiping out families' lives and hopes for the future, the odds are they're 100%. It's going to happen.
It is terrible. Let's get this call. 524-1080 if you got a comment or question for our guest. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Carol, I just want to make a comment. You know, in 2012, I went to the state capitol for Oahu Metropolitan Planning Organization. They had a joint with the state and the city.
Mm-hmm.
There was William Sparrow from the state, some other senators, and people from the city, Green Haramoto. I think Tom Berg was there, and some representative from the city council. And they had somebody talking from Ompo about the from the state about the erosion when the sea level rises, and Mo'ili would be in the 3 feet of water in 2151 or whatever, and Makaha would be underwater. And I can't understand why they're not looking at putting the roads more inwards because of the erosion, like you were saying, you know, hurricanes, tsunamis. It's ridiculous that they're just putting all this money into these bridges, and then, you know, it's affecting the community over there later on and in the years to come. You know, I'll be long gone. You know, we all be long gone, but what about the future? And I can't understand why these politicians are not looking at that aspect. But anyway, good discussion, and I look forward to hearing more from you folks.
We don't understand either. The winter storm this year has been pretty tough on Makaha Beach, and if you go there today, you'll see where it's half a stone's throw away from the highway.
Right.
And as even the director of DLNR, William Isla, said, he has statistics on how much beach erosion is occurring, how much beach loss for every inch of ocean level rise occurs. It's pretty dramatic. And this is a highway that literally travels on an ancient beach site.
Uh-huh.
It was put on the beach, you know, regardless of what people say. The old timers, Albert Silva, et cetera, they've driven on the old territorial route prior to 1937, and they know where it used to go, and it used to go way away from the beach.
Right.
And again, as we're the victims of that route was put in to protect and maintain the railroad, and the railroad isn't there primarily because it kept getting washed into the ocean.
Right. I used to have a beach house down Palmalu before sunset. And when we had that big hurricane, I guess in Niki or whatever, my whole front portion of the beach was taken away. Most of my property was gone already. And then there was a railroad track bridge over there, you know, right next by a stream. And, you know, just erosion, just so we got rid of it because we didn't want to get more damage from the surf and lose mm-hmm. our property. And, you know, eventually it's going to be washed away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand what you folks are talking about.
Just let me add that this whole issue with the bridges, it begs the question, what are they thinking?
Uh-huh.
I don't believe that they are that ignorant, or to put it bluntly, that stupid, that they don't foresee any kind of potential hazard that will take place. The history of that area is that it is prone to catastrophic wet weather changes. So it's not about if it happens, it's all about when.
Right.
So what could they possibly be thinking about to have that highway exposed to potential hazards?
Right.
That will eventually, if not today, tomorrow, well into the future, are bound to happen. So what are they not telling us? What is their, do they have some kind of a hidden agenda? And once again, I must add into this conversation that we're having, you know, that for way too long, the developers have held sway and have held, you know, our communities, they have kidnapped and held our communities to the point where we no longer have a say in the direction and the future of where we want to be. So are the developers, do they have a role in this? We don't know. What we want is sunshine. What we are asking for is transparency. And we're not getting any. So it's we wonder, what is their agenda? What are their motives?
Well, we'd also like to get them to the political reps to give us some time, you know, instead of the straight arm and being ignored. Representative Jordan has refused to entertain discussion on this issue. And in fact, we lost 3 months over the summer because when the subject was brought up in the Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board, she stood up and said, I'm sorry, but you can't discuss this in accordance with the neighborhood plan because this issue is in litigation. So we had to get the corporate counsel to review the situation and see if the board could discuss it. Just because you raise an issue of litigation, you know, it's in litigation, we can't discuss it. Well, you know, the rail system is in litigation and everybody discusses it.
Right.
And it's an issue of community concern. You know, that's one of the caveats or exceptions to using this litigation excuse. But even ever since the ruling that we got to go ahead and proceed, and the Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board did take action on this issue, and they submit multiple letters to the state and city and council asking for, you know, assistance with the probe.
Let me clarify. Did I hear you say that Joe Jordan came in and offered an objection?
Yes.
To you discussing this matter because of some...
Shut us down.
And then you were, she was overruled? Not overruled, but you appealed to another body, and it's ruled in your favor that you could discuss it.
Well, we had it at the time of the one board hearing where she made her objection, and I had to read the corporate counsel's letter, and it specifically said that the topic of this discussion was defined enough and within the scope enough that it could be discussed in the board. And the chair of the board, Johnny May Perry, first it was a motion which she had to take action on, but she actually voted against this proceeding because, Johnny May Perry, as she explained, and I understand her position, is if Joe Jordan, who had been a chair for 10 years prior to her, and this is Johnny May Perry's first month as chair, said, I got to trust Joe Jordan on this. I mean, she knows the neighborhood plan better than anybody. She's been the chair. If she doesn't think this is a topic for neighborhood board discussion, I've got to trust her on it. So she voted no, and fortunately, we had five other members of the board that voted yes, and that was a majority, and we proceeded with a permitted interaction group to allow Albert Silva and myself to study the issue and report back to the board. But and that we finally had that permission to proceed in October of 2012.
I'm a person of clarity. Joe Jordan objected, and she was overruled. I need to know specifically. I don't want that she went to a
board. No, specifically.
Okay.
I've got that on videotape and on my website.
See, this is a shame of a bad government when you appoint someone who, and then you have Perry deferring and ruling because she's been in place. Well, if that's the case, imagine how far we would get in the state because some of the dummies that are running the offices that have driven the organization, the agencies into the ground, dysfunctionality of these agencies. And so someone steps up and says, well, Carol Cox has been in that position for 30 years.
Right, he would know.
He would know. And if he says no, by golly, we got...
Right.
This is criminally it rises to the level of just irresponsibility.
Beyond incompetence. Beyond incompetence.
I can even take it another step further. In April of this year, the Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board signed off on two letters, one to the governor and one to the director of DOT, asking for them to relook the situation. And so great kudos to the Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board, and I thank them for what they did on this.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a member of Malama Makaha, I went to the Nanakuli Neighborhood Board the next month, that's the third week of April, and trying to get their support so we could have solidarity amongst mm-hmm. the Leeward Coast Neighborhood Boards. And so they had it was on the agenda and discussion, and Ms. Jo Jordan went up and testified against the proposal and was a little loose with the facts and convinced the Nanakuli Neighborhood Board to not vote for the same direction that the Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board went for. So really disappointing. I was, shocked. So I don't understand, that was since she was elected as a representative, so her loyalty to the governor should be a little less than it should be to the community. So why is that? Just baffles me.
And the Nanakuli board voted mm-hmm. before there was any discussion open to the community,
right?
Because we discussed this on the ride over here today, that
and
they had already voted.
Normally you have a board member discussion and then community discussion. Well, it was board member discussion, Jo Jordan discussion, and they voted, and I'm at the podium waiting to speak, and I said, aren't you going to take any community input? And he says, oh, what do you have to say? And I voiced my support for the position.
And the fix was in.
So you'll understand why Joe behaves this way. Ignorance, I can tell you, when you walk in and you're representing a community, your constituents should come first. But people like Joe Jordan and the other politicians, the Karen Awanas, who, she jumped ship, one day she was a Republican, and the next night she said, oh my God, that guy Obama won. No, I'm just kidding. But I want to join in with
the light.
Oh my goodness, but I'm being, rude. But the point is that you see what's going to happen. Jo Jordan is obligated to Neil Abercrombie and the rest of the Democrats in that process. And I'm a Democrat, so don't think I'm speaking on behalf of the Republicans. What happens is that come the elections time, when you or me decide to run against her, Neil's going to hand her Friends of the Neil Abercrombie Election Committee $2,000 or $6,000,
right,
the few, so she can sit there and run interference on a right. character like the governor, Neil Abercrombie. That's how the game worked. The Karen Awanas, they'll show up at these meetings and talk kind of crazy, but the reality is, they're going to be very guarded in what they say and how aggressive, because they're going to want monies from Friends of Kimberly Pine. That's what they do.
You're right, right.
You donate to the one party, and that individual takes all that money. Hey, girl, we in this thing together. You keep them snookered over there and feed them, do like mushrooms and feed them, keep them in the dark and feed them.
Right. Well, their system's like a self-licking ice cream cone.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
It's real disappointing.
The name, I'm glad you mentioned Kimberly Pine. We recently, on the 10th of April?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, while we're debating and trying to get the Malama Makaha agenda pushed through and trying to focus on the current routing project and asking, to be reconsideration, she comes up with, waves these shiny keys at the community and says, looky here, I've got this proposal for a realignment feasibility study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we have a feasibility study. It's from 1997. We don't need this other feasibility study. The feasibility study she's pushing is funded or in consideration for funding by the city council right now for FY14-15. Well, guess what? That's after the bridges are completed. The feasibility study is going to tell us what we already know. It's a feasible route. It was considered by the State Highway Department. It was their alternative number four. They considered four alternatives. But mm-hmm. I see you got a call on the line.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Yes, thank you very much. Applicable exactly to this, everything that your guests are saying. First, number one priority is service to the people first. Second, do it right the first time. Third, there is no appeal to their conscience because they're unconscionable, and they do not forgive them for lack of knowledge. They know exactly what they're doing.
I would agree, sir.
It is a revolving door at the city council and the state. Romy and Dela Cruz go to the state, and down comes Pine and the other two.
Yeah.
Until, forgive me for being imperative about this, but until you understand talking to them, having surveys, meeting, having them say, we'll do what we can, is just a farce. You must, whatever you want to do, you must be militant, you must analyze, you must survey constantly in a very objective way, and try to do something, because rhetoric doesn't work. They have their own agenda.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Okay. And thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Donald, real quick, you got another question you had said.
A question, since I'm a person with disabilities myself, have you contacted federal about the ADA, about access way over there for Makaha and whatnot?
That's covered a little bit in the project, and let me explain how. First of all, the route, the portion of the highway we're talking about now doesn't have any sidewalks, doesn't have a bike route, and it really doesn't even have a shoulder. It's got a one-foot shoulder on both sides of the highway, so there's no ADA access right now. Now, in regards to the bridges that they're putting in, they do brag, and it's a beautiful. These are beautiful bridges. They're concrete and steel bridges. They're very wide. They're the best $23 million can buy. I don't understand
$23 million.
Why the project isn't more at the $5 to $9 million level. But anyways, these bridges are about a foot wider than current bridges as far as the highway goes. But they also have a bike path, and they have a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Okay, so they got a three-foot sidewalk. Now, what good is a three-foot sidewalk that doesn't connect to even a shoulder,
right,
let alone the rest of the route? So if I take you to the front of one bridge and you're ADA needy, well, you can use it to the end of the bridge, and then I guess I got to put you back in a vehicle again. So you, so it's really a shame. And so when you talk about do it right the first time, you know, do it right around the Malka side with the whole route, and follow the Complete Streets project being implemented by the state, city, and county. And that whole route needs to have a bike route, a sidewalk, curbs, et cetera. But none of that exists right now.
So what does our congressional delegation say anything on this project?
We have not actually had access to our congressman on this. We're trying to do this at the
grassroots
more vocal level, city and state representatives and the state senator. And here's the conundrum with that. Even if we could get past the city and state working together on this, then we could actually ask for the federal help. But the city and county look at combined with Councilman Kimberly Pine, look at this issue as it's a state highway project. It's a bridge replacement project, and so it's totally state. It has to encumber some city and county property, but that's something the state is going to be purchasing, so the project can happen. But their blinders are, and particularly Kimberly Pine, is I'm not going to go off out of my lane and get into the state issue. Tom Berg did when he was in office. He had no problem crossing boundaries to achieve, you know, the goals that were necessary. But now, then when you talk to the state representatives about Well, what about the city and county's plan for the Makaha Beach Master Plan? The state folks say, well, that's a city and county park. Well, it's a city and county route. This is just simply a bridge replacement project. It's not even a highway realignment project. And it's simply out of the scope of the project. But I will tell you this, that in the state evaluated four alternatives before they started this project. And one of the alternatives which is number four, was that they reviewed was to go on the Malka side of the beach park. So if it was within the scope of their project to go Malka then, it's within their scope now. And the Army Corps of Engineers said to go that way. In their own environmental assessment, as I flip through it right now, I'm just going to read a short half a sentence here. This is the state's comments in their 2011 final environmental assessment in regards to alternative four, the Malka route. Quote, the primary benefit of this alternative is that a portion of Farrington Highway would be relocated away from tidal influences during winter and heavy surf conditions, unquote. Uh-huh. Well, wouldn't that be the first criteria you'd want?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, we're coming down to the last couple minutes. Thank you, Donald. We're going to be holding them over. I got hostages here in the next hour because there's many issues over there in Makaha, and we'll be talking about the bridge replacement project and trying to mend some fences with these politicians. I mean, Makaha is just one problem. But I got to say to the, as much as I feel sorry and cry the word environmental racism, just because they treat you as if you're unimportant, you shouldn't vote as if you're unimportant. And so half the problem is in your lap, residents over there, the constituents in Makaha, Nana Kuli. You got what you vote for, and if you think they're all good, then I'm not going to object. But we're going to talk about that bridge to nowhere right there coming into Nana Kuli. So why should we trust what they're doing in Makaha when there's a bridge sitting right there, a bridge to nowhere over Stink Pond? So we'll be back shortly. The Carol Cox Show, Jack DeFeo, and Al Frank Franzel is my guest.
Once upon a time, you said if I would be yours, you would sure be mine, but that's all right. I know you're in love with some other man, but that's all right. Every now and then I wonder who's loving you tonight. You told me, baby, your love for me was strong. When I woke up, little girl, half of this big world was gone. But that's all right. I know you don't love me no more, but that's all right. Every night, then I wonder,
stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. Thank you.
woman can do. When you see me coming, raise your window high. When you see me coming, raise your window high. When you see me passing, baby,
it's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Books and subtitled.
Good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Second half here. My guest is Mr. Al Franzel and Jack DeFeo. From Makaha side, we're talking about the Makaha Bridge replacement, but I got a few things I want to make announcement. If you are interested, on June 4th through the 9th of this year, the Honolulu Rainbow Film Festival, I encourage you to go down. And yesterday there was a Pride Parade, and Mayor Carlisle stood and openly acknowledged that he supports marriage, gay marriage, same-sex marriage, and as I do. And in fact, I'm careful to say I support, to respect other people's rights and leaving it at that, because who am I to speak as if I'm superior and that, oh, I'll support that. You know, sounds like some kingpin sitting there. Yeah, I'll give you my blessings. No, it's their right to do what they wish to do, and I'll respect that, and our government too. So it was encouraging, and I'm sure some of you probably think Jesus and God are going to come down and strike him dead because he supports that, but you have to figure the rest up for yourself. But Alex Newell from Glee, some of the people that's going to be at the film festival, Desmond Child, Cameron Dean Stewart, David W. Ross, Eon Harvey. Hey, and it's, the 24th annual Honolulu Rainbow Film Festival. I encourage you to, and it's at the Honolulu Museum of Art at the Doris Duke Theater. So, and then one of the things that's conspicuously missing that I was a bit saddened, though we had the Pride Parade yesterday, I didn't see a single mention in the Honolulu Star Advertiser. Maybe I overlooked it. But, you know, I may have my blinders on and just missed it. But it's a sad commentary that if someone ran up a utility pole and died, and we see those stories repeat themselves over and over and over, and there's a coverage and detail of who they are, and yet not a single picture, not a single reference. And if I'm mistaken, then please call me and correct me, because I was saddened by the absence of that. And for the newspaper to present itself in such a fashion, selecting or failing to be on top of things, I ask what gives. So, again, that's the way it is. And in the TV stations, think about this, you know, or whatever it is they come out with their general managers think. So I'm thinking out loud. If in fact the paper purposely neglected to cover that, and then that's a sad occasion, because the newspapers cover events. We cover the floating lanterns. We cover many other things. We cover the fireworks shows, and we definitely cover a truck turns over, and that's a leading story. But human rights seem to find, well, not find its way anywhere, I guess, in priorities. So if I'm premature in my statements and that there's going to be a big spread later, then I do apologize. But again, civil rights, human rights, I think we should all celebrate. We hurry to Wahiwa and other places to celebrate the Veterans Parade, and that involves shooting people up and killing people in war and what have you. And sometimes it's justified, but where people are celebrating who they are and we don't give coverage, then I ask again, what gives? Okay, but I'm back here with, and those are my opinions. I don't know what these two guys think. And that is Jack DeFeo and Al Franzel. And we're talking about the Makaha bridge replacement and some interesting stuff here, guys. So
that was a fast hour that really went quick, and we still got about three major issues to get to. So I hope the callers or the listeners don't go away. But you ended the last session talking about the community getting the most representation that they deserve. And there's over 40,000 voters on the Leeward Coast, age 18 and above. And unfortunately, only 10,000 voted in the last election. And they're going to be the same 10,000 that are already co-opted by the current political system. So we've got to get above and beyond this 10,000, and we need to get a higher show rate at the election booth. I'd like to see it get up to, 50% or at least, 75%. But and in regards to this issue on the bridges, a year ago there was only about 8 of us that knew the situation, and maybe about 6 months ago we were about 60 people of awareness. But right now Malama Makaha is an awareness of probably around 6,000 folks in the community. Mm-hmm. But we need them to speak up, and they're not. They're just kind of laid back, and just I think they're so complacent with not getting their way out there on the Leeward Coast that they don't realize their voice counts. Mm-hmm. So we need them to speak up. And one of the issues regarding the motivation behind this project has to do with, spending money. And Joe Jordan wants to see this $23 million spent. And so, mm-hmm. So all the politicians. It's jobs, mm-hmm. and she can brag in a year and a half in her reelection campaign how she got this project approved. But in reality, I see this as a black mark against her entire reputation. If anybody can be a representative for the people and do the easy things. But to see something like a no-brainer of the Makaha Bridge replacement and the desire of the community to route at Malka and not stand up and go against City Hall and go against the status quo and not have your voice heard as a representative for this issue and use your political clout with the governor and pass on the needs of the community. If you can't do that, then you're wasting a space.
Mm-hmm. And you're selfish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Joe Jordan has said numerous times that if this bridge project doesn't occur, we're quote unquote gonna lose the money. Well, that's impossible. First of all, the money, as the state DOT mentioned in a hearing, will just get diverted to another project and be used for something more needy,
mm-hmm.
Like your Ho'ana Bridge overpass is a good example that needs the money. But there's absolutely no way the money will be lost. And it's not like, once we lose this opportunity, the bridges will never be rebuilt and we'll be stuck with these, broken wooden bridges, which are in fine shape. That's not true either, because the state has a responsibility to maintain the highway system. When and if they need to be replaced, they will be funded. So we're never going to lose the money. Now, I want to talk about a motivation that I suspect is behind some of these politicians' motivation, and that is when this project is complete, the project designed by RMTEL, there is a before and a after floodplain map that they developed. Mm-hmm. So you have the before the project and the after the project. Well, the after the project floodplain map conveniently takes some land that's owned behind the project and transitions it from floodplain, not buildable land, mm-hmm. and allows 10 or 11 acres to be converted to buildable land, R5, R10, depending whatever zoning that the owner is able to negotiate. So it takes worthless land and makes it valuable to the $10, $15 million level.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner of that land is Hawaii Realty Trust, HRT. HRT is the for-profit arm of the Harriet and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine, none of these politicians are going to want to upset the Weinberg Foundation. They bring a lot of money, a lot of fine services to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that no one mentions that motivation, but in essence, the big winner in this is HRT, who has current floodplain ground that's not legal to build on, and chances are, or the likelihood is, that the RM TAL's post project map will be turned into FEMA. FEMA will redraw the floodplain, and what a bing, but a boom, $11 million advantage to a developer.
And
so,
open to development.
So
the scourge of.
By golly, I should have played Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Very troubled waters that run very deep.
But, you know, and I'm going to digress here, but the thought. So they're going to make this road a little wider.
One foot wider,
yeah. Which will probably increase the traffic speed.
Absolutely.
Okay. So now, if for the listeners, so on the here you have the beach, and all the children and the surfers all
there
come down to the beach and play, and they pull along, and the parents pull up, and they to the back of them when they pull into the few stalls that are there, they get out and go far to the beach. The children got to go to the bathroom. Well, the highway comes between the parking lot and the bathroom. But then there is a canoeing. There's a haliva or a canoe house,
mm-hmm.
which the city built, knowing that it was going to be attractive. I consider it an attractive nuisance because eventually, and I don't know if it has happened, someone is going to get run over.
Right.
Or you're going to increase the speed. Now, there's the other element of military trucks that come because you got Makua. Right, and then you got other things such as the fire trucks and emergency response vehicles coming through there.
Yeah,
and children are having just to go to the bathroom, and then to make matters worse, you have the shower head sited across the street and the restroom, so they have to leave the beach, find their way across the street, and here we are downtown Makiki. I mean, not to make small kind of it, but. Something's wrong there. Something stinks. And so there's Kimberly Pine, Joe Jordan, who's running interference to prop this project up. Miley Shimabukur, you say, is helping you, or I don't know.
She hasn't spent any political capital. She's forwarded our concerns to the state DOT,
okay.
But she hasn't, you know, she's a...
She hasn't stood firm.
Uh-huh. She's well known, and she hasn't talked to the governor on this that we know of, and she hasn't drug us along in a meeting. We've asked to meet with the governor on several occasions, and the bad thing is that when the governor receives our requests from both the Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board as well as a private organization, Malama Makaha, and he turns around and says, well, Joe Jordan, well, Miley, well, William Isla, what do you think? Should I entertain these folks, their requests? Should I give them the time? And they're all three solidarity, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. All his gatekeepers turn us away.
Ignore this issue. This will go away. We want the bridges as they are.
Yeah.
Well, let me add this, that during our petition drive, and we successfully acquired quite a few signatures to our petition during the Buffalo surf tournament that we had that ran two mm-hmm. weekends. Every single individual that was told of the history of the Makaha Beach Master Plan unanimously were in favor of it. We accumulated over 1,000 signatures. Everyone we speak to, when we give them the history, when we tell them, please go to the MalamaMakaha.com website, all that information there is archived. It's from reliable, indisputable sources, so that you can go there and make up your own mind. It is unanimous that everyone that we've shared the information that is on that website supports. It's a no-brainer. It's a win-win situation for the community, the city, and state. Everyone benefits.
I tried to make a communication with the owner of Hawaii Realty Trust, the owner of the property behind the project, because I'd like to explain to him that regardless of which way the bridges go, the floodplain changes are going to happen already. They mm-hmm. basically have happened because Keeley Drive, which was built about 30 years ago, serves as an illegal dam and prevents water from going in its free flow route to where it wants to, basically mm-hmm. across this particular land in question. So the floodplain has been changed. All that this project will do is officialize it. So I'd like to tell the developer and say, if you were to weigh in with us on having this go of the Malka route, not only would you gain the 11 acres from floodplain to buildable land, but you would have your development next to the most world-class, finest beach facility in entire Oahu, if not the world. And imagine what the value of that would be. But I've been unable to secure that meeting with him, and I wish that he would understand. I've got his interests in mind, too. Everybody can be a winner in this project.
And let me also state that if the future of the Leeward Coast directly focused on the world-class beach that Makaha Beach is, if by chance, right now the probability of us having a seat at the table with the governor to share with him the information that we have, the benefit to the state of Oahu of consolidating the beach with the beach park would definitely be a feather in everybody's cap. It was something, for them, for our political leaders, to put a feather in their cap. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem that that accomplishment it has any value to them, because I think the only thing they want to really consider is how will it benefit them at the risk of ignoring the will of the people. Mm-hmm. So that's why we continue to struggle.
Mm-hmm. Well, while this project is being built for the estimated time period of 18 months, and that's, Hawaii construction procedures, that's best case. And that's best case assuming the weather cooperates, the unions cooperate. That's best case that our protesting doesn't slow them down and that they don't find Evie on the temporary, on the Makai side where they're going to place a temporary route. I guarantee you there's Evie there. It's the mm-hmm. beach dunes. It's where many ancient Hawaiians buried their families. Mm-hmm. And they're going to find that, and they're going to have to stop the project. So yeah. It's going to take longer than 18 months. But yeah. The entire period of this time, the route is going to be placed on the sand side of Makaha on Farrington Highway. And the likelihood of that bridge surviving, first of all, it's only being built to a five-year flood standard.
Right.
So if we get higher than a five-year flood chance, and there's a 20% any particular year of a five-year flood or higher. So if this facility's up for 2 years, that's a 40% chance of failure of right. this bridge system.
Right. Well, one of the things that I'll go back to speak to, Joe Jordan originally was appointed by Neil Abercrombie.
Correct.
So was Miley Shimabukuro. She vacated her position and then took Colleen Hanabusa's position. So she is in debt to whom?
The same person.
Neil Abercrombie. His honor. And then you take Karen Owana. I mean, she's up to her neck in violations of financial reports with Office of Voter Commission, and they voted her back in. But again, once a Republican then moves over, they welcome her. So the question is, Who's representing the people? Kimberly Pine was in as a state representative. And by the way, she's the same Kimberly Pine that was at Haseco over there with that development where they promised the big marina.
Right.
Yeah. And that marina was going to be, oh, it was a state-of-the-art facility, a world-class facility, right?
Right. No one screams for that anymore.
No one screams for that, and even she says, well, I can come over here and I can paddle my boat and I can swim because I run a marathon.
Right.
You know, this is the Kimberly Pine. Folks, if you want to see a dysfunctional politician, for example, I've sent her requests for questions on other matters. I've sent her a UIPA, and you must respect the UIPA. You must respond. She, in her wisdom, approached the life as she, quote, represents the people. I don't think she would, if it wasn't for people approaching her, she would never approach anyone. She holds back on the information. She hadn't responded to my UIPA request. So imagine you have such a collection of state representatives. And Colleen set the stage for it all. And do nothing, glad hand with the Jeff Stones, give the $75 million. This community along the Leeward Coast or the Windward Coast or Leeward Coast is absolutely being snookered and robbed of any, just robbed of any representation. And then to come in, as you've described, to say to them, hold it. You can't discuss this in a meeting. Well, okay, time out. We'll shut down the meeting, and we'll, anybody want to stay, we'll talk about it. I mean, to go to that extreme, Joe Jordan, you need to pack your bags. I'm sorry. You're not representing the people.
Well, here, you hit the nail right on the head. Aren't these people supposed to be public servants?
This should be a re-election issue because of its importance and its magnitude. If you can't represent the community on this no-brainer of an issue, you don't belong in office. And, you know, when it comes time for re-election, for her re-election, these bridges are going to be in the final stages. We're going to have some community members that don't know what's going on finally open their eyes and wake up and look at it. They're going to see this horrendous environmental disaster of a bypass route out on the sand. And they're going to see these ugly bridges and their master plan for the beach park totally walked on. And they should turn around and say, Joe Jordan, how did you let this happen? And I'm hoping they do that because you don't deserve to stay in office if you can't read the will of the people.
And you know what she's going to say? Well, Johnny Mae Perry looked at what I said and she agreed. So if you should talk to Johnny Mae because Johnny Mae had the responsibility of looking at it.
She actually has done that in regards to the pointing figures at the city council.
Oh, I know these people. They right. start off, let me tell you something. I've learned in my old age now, I live to be 60. Nobody beat me upside the head for running my mouth. We are the three lucky guys. But let me tell you something. With this whole process, Johnny Mae Perry wants to become state representative. She wants to run for office. So these guys, they start off with an empty sheet of paper with nothing on it. And they all bring their crap and put on it, and then that's where they draw from their wisdom. You know, it's like, wait, stop. It's people first, constituents, constituents, constituents. That's the separation of government and power. You got the executive, you got the, right?
Right.
And yet, they become servants of guys like Neil Abercrombie.
Servants of the state.
But I mean, no, individuals, because right. they pay homage.
Self-serving.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised they don't have that, each one of these guys don't have the tattoo of Neil's face on their left shoulder. I'm always here on your shoulder, brother. And then so you take Johnny Mae Perry, who defers, okay, no testing. No, I mean, I'm sorry. Look, Carol made a dumb decision, but I'm going to stand behind him because he made the dumb decision. So,
right.
And then the governor's shrewd. I mean, I admire him for his shrewdness. I just wish he would be more transparent because a shrewd person is a thinker, and he can make things happen if it's done the right way. This dude, he thinks like, well, I'll put this person here, and then who's going to enforce the EV?
Right.
Who?
Well, we're hoping
William Isla should, right?
He should, but I have a feeling when I call and say, "Hey, looky, we got a problem here." I hope he answers the phone.
Yeah, well, you can hope, and that came with Obama, and he exhausted that. There is no hope. we need
hopeless hope.
Yeah, we need action, and so I admire Neil Abercrombie because he's PLDC, the first thing, and then William Isla stood up and go, "Oh, it's a good project. There's nothing wrong with that." And right, this was the activist, the guy, the tip of the spear for people speaking out on the behalf of the people. And he became part of this team of Abercrombies. And so this entire coast is being affected by projects like this, the Makaha, where they
held hostage.
Forget the project. I'm not an engineer. I'm a person of concern that with civil rights and government access. They won't let you meet, and they come in and interfere. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Well, how about, the open democratic process of participating in the ongoing political issues that affect each and every one of us?
I ask you not to drink before you. What do you mean democratic process?
Does that exist any longer?
I said, look, one of the conditions to come on my show, you can't drink before you come on the show.
We're sorry, but it was Saturday night.
What'd you put in this water?
The democratic process. Oh, can you pinch him?
Yeah, slap me awake.
We had Tom Berg before he left office. He was, in fact, his last year, he was behind the Malama Makaha effort before we even had Malama Makaha. He saw the needs of the community and was trying to stop and delay this project. And he was successful a year ago in delaying the funding in the Transportation Improvement Program, what they call mm-hmm. the TIP. And he pushed it back by a year. Otherwise, it's already be under construction. So he pushed it back by a year with OMPO and with the caveat or that we want to hear from the community and see what the community has to say about this position once and for all. And that's what prompted the permitted interaction group and the neighborhood board, et cetera. And we came up with that position in January of 2013, just days after Kimberly Pine took office. And I personally provided Kimberly Pine email saying, here's the resolution from the Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board, mm-hmm. and it's their position on the Makaha Bridges project. Please secure some time on the OMPO agenda to discuss this issue, because they're kind of waiting on the response. And she, refused to answer the emails, refused to talk about it in any discussions, and we'll never get on the OMPO agenda for this issue.
And the people deserve better. And what is it? What do they do when you go to the booth? They spray a smoke or something that causes you to succumb to, you just abandon thought and memory. Of who the Kimberly Pines are, who the Joe Jordans are, where they originate from, what they're about. I was beginning to speak about this thing called the environmental community or environmental activists. Let me tell you something. I've learned something in my old age. If you want success, you better stick to the straight people that are straight with the facts and all, because some of these environmentalists. They are part of the problem. They are misfits, and they can't get along in any system, and they just want to be heard and want power. They've never connected with the people, never. So I've learned something in my old age and observation. If you want good government, let the environmentalists fight externally. But once you put an environmentalist in office, you got a hybridization of something. Forget GMO. Serious. Because they find they're wandering. They want attention. They take one issue. And I say this with experience. They 99% of them are racist and bigot and insensitive to the people's issues. And they're just begging for attention. I've observed it. And I'll give you, if you want names and experiences, I'll share it with you. But I would say, folks, as a warning, hold their feet to the fire and get the simplest of the representation, of the persons that they are. Look at the people, the basic people. people that come with these ideas, and like I'm listening to you talk about sustainable plant, you're not looking for anything out of this. You're a community member other than doing what's right. You're looking for transparency. Joe Jordan was a, quote, environmentalist, right?
Mm-hmm. What
and
is she now?
To show up. What is she now? A hybridization? What do you call it? This is why we should ban GMO, because look what human beings, if we...
Yeah, it's called the zombification of the American public. They're dead from the neck up.
Yeah.
Carol, at the November Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board, this issue was being discussed, and I was amazed that William Isla stood up and said, I'll paraphrase, I applaud your efforts...
Yeah.
But you're wasting your time. This is a done deal. The bridges are on the top priority list for replacement. They got to be replaced, and it's going to happen. And so my recommendation is the board not take on this issue because you're wasting your time. Yeah. And I'm looking at this, and this is the guy who saved Makua Valley.
Yeah, well, he didn't save it. Back up.
But he's gotten the notoriety.
Well, that's okay. And that's he didn't save Makua because I came here as a special agent and was going to go and try and indict the general that oversees it and met with him at Conaway Marine Base. And I was up there walking around trying to avoid bouncing Bettys when nobody was even involved. He didn't, and the fire breaks, and it was me who, not just me, but some. So there are many people that the Skippy, what's her name, DeSoto's, and all of those people. So, and that's the thing, we assign role of importance to individuals.
Right. Yeah.
And then we forget. And then the governor comes along and says, hey, would you like to have a job?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just need to do this, be here when I need something. You just, and you got power. And boom.
Well, that's where you got to give the governor credit. You know, strategically, he knows how to play the game by bringing people on board that if they had any integrity, they've been co-opted by joining the other side that they have in the past resisted and spoken out against. So it's like resistance is futile. You know, join and be acclimated.
Right. What does it say? I won't. It's Sunday morning and breakfast, but it's better to have them on the inside of the tent. What President,
exactly.
You know, Roosevelt. It's better to have them on the inside of the tent than on the outside and urinating down. Anyway, but the point is, and this is, you know, I used to say, I'm not attacking him. Well, no, I'm not attacking anyone. I'm just stating the facts because when you bring in these situations, you can't even get an open forum. You can't get the attention of the governor. The governor could have said, I am chief and commander in chief here. I appointed you, Mr. Director, or whatever. Listen, open the files to the people. Redact anything that would violate privacy or what have you. Move on with the show. It's about informing people. But then let me wake up here. That's a dream because this is the same governor who snuck and put in a proclamation in June when he first got in office and never, ever announced it, never, ever published it until we broke it on the show here that he had put in a proclamation suspending all environmental laws and of the enforcement authority on the environmental historical preservation and all of that. The same governor that then has his strings attached to Joe Jordan and all of them, and even Johnny May Perry, and I love her dearly. But
we love her too.
But it ain't about
her. And it's not about party line.
It's about.
It's not Republican or Democrat or anything.
It's about strings attached and puppeteering.
Exactly.
We had a hearing at the Water Commission regarding this bridges project. And because Governor Abercrombie passed a bill exempting wooden bridges, all the Oahu's wooden bridges exempt from environmental laws.
Yeah.
Because of that, the Water Commission wouldn't hear a contested case. And so the Water Commission there could have stopped the project.
Right.
But no, they waived the governor exempted this project.
And the only people that's happy is the termites, and they're not people.
If you asked us what we would like,
we've
offered just a month ago to the governor a really easy to do compromise plan.
To fix.
For instance, on the on the bypass road that's going on the beach. Mm-hmm. One of the bridges on the bypass road is going to be a steel bridge. The other bridge is not a steel bridge, and if viewers went to the website, they'd see a presentation that's the bridge is doomed for failure. But nevertheless, one steel bridge is going to be used on the temporary route. If they put two steel bridges into play and use those to cross the current wooden bridges that they keep scaring the community that are going to fall apart, A, there's Farrington Highway will be functional for as long as those steel bridges last. That'll buy us the several years we need mm-hmm. to do the planning and the rerouting of the Malka route, and we'll be able to do this project right the first time. And, oh, by the way, there's no need for a bypass route because Farrington Highway with these steel bridges can continue to be used while the project's being built. So no adulteration of the beach, no potential catastrophe of the road washing into the ocean,
mm-hmm.
and the community gets what it wants the first time. I've submitted that to the governor, and that's one of the documents that he forwarded to DOT. Okay, and I submitted that to the community leaders, and no response back. Mm-hmm. But it, if the state and the city representatives got into one room and listened to some ideas, they actually could fix this. But I don't think it's about fixing it. It's about political power.
I think it's about fixed.
It's about corporate power.
It's about corporate power. It's about the gentleman that's running a DOT. Look, they got the harbors. What have we found in the harbors? Fraud. They got the airport. What have we found in the airport? Fraud. What do we and anywhere the DOT is or under their control? Fraud. They're buying drones to fly in an area where commercial aircraft fly in, and to protect from what? I mean,
you mentioned the bridge to nowhere out in Anacooli.
Right.
At least that bridge only costs $3 million. And that's a pretty big, meaty bridge.
Right.
Okay, but these two bridges in Makaha, $23 million? That doesn't pass the common sense test.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And then I think Colleen, I was trying to pull up something. Hanabusa was commenting on the success of putting the bridge when it was first being built or something. I got to go back.
She did.
And I'm thinking, and you want now to be, we shouldn't have sent you to Congress, but you now want to be the senator? What are we going to get bridges over here, over there, and none of them connect? But it's about politics, money, corporation, you know, and
yeah.
corporation. But it's unfortunate that I've come to learn that this administration, the Abercrombie administration, is bullying and very steadfast and preventing transparency. They don't want. This governor does not want. Some others, with Cayetano, there was some, he had tricks. With
right.
Lingle, she had her bag of tricks. But you could eventually get the documents. You could get information. Abercrombie has sealed the door. He's put caulking on every crack and everything, and it's unfortunate. There's no transparency. So that just strips us. And so he goes on by his business, doing what he wants because he has all the cronies in place. And I think...
And that mindset, Carol, violates every
mm-hmm.
premise
yeah.
of the rule of law.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in Hawaii politics, it's you got to go along to get along.
Yeah.
So if you don't go along with the status quo, you're a bad guy. You're a bad politician.
Yeah.
You're not doing your job. You get ridiculed and targeted. You know, Tom Berg's a good example of that. And so if you get this population of people to just go along to get
mm-hmm.
along,
mm-hmm.
all they're going to do is worry about padding their own, you
yeah.
know, election campaign pockets. And
they lack the power because they were a nothing and a nobody before. But now
right.
I can raise my hands and they listen and the masses listen.
And the people put up with it.
Yeah, and the people, they're scurrying to work, stuck in traffic.
Exactly.
Being watched by the police. You better not touch that telephone.
Yeah.
You know?
If you see something,
see something, call us in. Call the posse. Yeah, hello. I'm violating the law. I'm using my phone to call you, to ask you to call the FBI to investigate these monkeys for ripping us off. You know, that's, but you don't get that. We, the laws are tightening us in, and freedom of speech, you can't. I have a situation for the last, since December, I've requested all that you saw in the paper and the Hawaiian homelands. If we broke that information, those stories back in last year on Collie Watson and the leases, Stuart Hanschett, we had Robin Danner on the show, Michelle Calhoun, Joe Tassel. But the paper comes along.
I'm involved in that on the peripheral.
Yeah, the paper comes along, the advertisers come along, and they do a three big spread, and I'm thinking, that's interesting. We've already covered that. But that's the nature of this. The governor and that office talked to them. But I had made requests, and I have right now still waiting for appeal before the UIPA, or OIPA office, Office of Information Practices, which is controlled by the governor,
yeah,
asking DHHL to give me the records. Well, by the time I get the records, they may be naming another agency. But
yes,
this is a lack of transparency. And the governor is the culprit in this because he appointed Jobi Masakatani. And I have him on the website, our website, carolcox.com. You can hear the governor's support, speech of support for her in his appointment. And you can hear Brigwood Galatera and Clayton He and Kaheli and Solomon. Just ignoring the facts. But remember, Solomon was appointed too at one time by for a position that was vacant. Isn't that funny?
Right.
But anyway, go ahead.
Well,
guys.
We're just touching the tip of the iceberg on the information available on this situation. So I'd like the listeners, if they get a chance, to go to www.malamamakaha.com and research more into this issue. But we have other avenues ahead of us. You know, the governor can continue to ignore us, et cetera. That's fine. But there are representatives, there are members of the community out there with some legal actions pending and some legal actions about to take place.
Okay.
And those will help slow down this project. I would like to see the politicians look and say, oh, my God, they're going to slow this down. Since this is going to be delayed, why don't we sit down now and decide how we can do this right?
Yeah, incorporate the public's concerns, the public. That's all you're asking.
Yeah.
You're not trying to slow it down, but whatever it costs, you're going to have your day in.
Exactly.
In particip- that's what
the
you're
word's going to get out there.
Yeah, so anyway, again, the website is malamamakaha.com. And
correct.
This is Jack DeFeo and Al Franzo. So anything else before we close?
Well, I just want to emphasize the fact that in spite of everything that we see as being done wrong, it's not a hopeless situation. You've got to remember that there are more of us than there are of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're most afraid of is an awakened, organized populace, okay, who has the will, the intestinal fortitude to defend what is morally correct, and that is the benefit of us all. So we've got to put aside our differences and join in the effort. And I know in these uncertain times how difficult it is to make ends meet, especially here in the state of Hawaii. But if you don't participate, things will never change, and they're going to get steadily worse. So if you care about your future and the future of your friends and coworkers, you will get involved. All I say to you, it is not hopeless. Have heart, be passionate, and make a difference. It begins with you.
Mm-hmm. And, Carol, I just want to say thank you for having this issue, this valuable airtime to highlight this problem. And I just encourage the community members out there to get out there and be involved, speak up on wrongs like this, and please go to the election and let's vote the right people in that will represent you.
Okay. I'm going to take about 2-3 minutes. I want to talk about one point and then give you guys a closing statement. But speaking of the governor and the government, I want to share something with the listeners out there. I'm following a case in 1999, real quickly. There was an incident where Windward Aviation is a company that contracts helicopter service to the state. And this company, this is 1999, back in that time, and I wrote an article called Shocking Story, found in the Fishing News, or you can go to EnviroWatch.org and pull it up there and see that story. But the what it involved was the Department of Land and Natural Resources, DOCARE, conservation officers. People working for DOCARE, or DLNR, father and son, used this helicopter, had the helicopter transport them to the mountainous streams, and they used a electrical device, a shocking device, that was seized by DLNR Land and Natural Resources conservation officers, or game wardens. And they shocked the stream and took hihivai fish and oopu and opai. So we wrote that story, and in that situation, again, it was out of Maui County, so it came under the Maui County. At that time, Keith Kao was a branch chief, who's unfortunately deceased now. And that was seized, that shocking device was seized from other people that were using it illegally. So moving forward, and one gentleman retired, and it wasn't a real prosecution of him. The state didn't bother to do it. So now up on our doorstep is another project that I'm working on. This one involves, and I must qualify that these are allegations now, but they're allegations that have come from a variety of sources, that the sitting branch or head of DLNR, Conservation and Resource Enforcement, Mr. Randy Awo, who we've talked about, and the allegations, and I want you to understand the allegations, I put together a list of questions to Don Shearer, owner of Windward Aviation. And the first occasion, he was quite cooperative. He shared with me. So I'm thinking I'll send him another letter on this occasion. And the allegations are Mr. Randy Awo, underscoring allegations, Randy Awo, his daughter was married, and to collect hihivai and other oopu or what have you. And hihivai, by the way, is a beautiful snail, aquatic snail that is sought after. We've pretty much wiped them out on this island, but in other islands. But anyway, the allegations is that prior to a marijuana eradication flight, the son and two officers, managers or supervisors, supervising conservation officers, were transported aboard Mr. Shearer's Windward Aviation's helicopter, transported them there where they gathered hihivai, opu, and brought them back down, and the collection that they made, the fish and what have you, was used at Awo's daughter's wedding party. Again, allegations, and I wrote Don Shearer, thinking in the spirit that, hey, facts are facts, and if it's a lie, then let's come clean as you did before. Well, he proceeded to send that letter of just merely questions now that I had written him to Randy Awo. And his remarks, basically paraphrasing, well, when you get the FBI and everybody else to investigate this, then I will tell the truth about this, and I will speak, or then I will open my records up. Well, here's a question, and I'll ask all of you. I will pursue this, and they are allegations, and we have some other information I'm not going to disclose here now. But I'm hearing back that this is the gentleman that William Isla propped up, who have he probably spent 2 days here, 3 days here out of the week, and he was allowed to work here and transfer them, go back and forth to Maui weekends at the great expense to the taxpayer. So we're going to be pursuing that, and stay tuned for that, and we want to see what, when I send Mr. Isla some records for the air flights and what have you, and some argue, well, maybe it was just a free flight that he gave as a friend. Well, payback. how does one working for the government contract with anyone? And then in turn, the contractor find his way giving them a favor. If that is in fact, as Don Shearer said, well, they didn't do nothing wrong. They ain't do nothing illegal. Well, I don't know about you, but from an investigative standpoint, that's reason enough to really start digging. So anyway, we're going to follow that, and we'll get back with you on that, and hopefully someone will come to the senses, and either if it's false allegations and they're not true, then let's flesh it out and be done with it. Okay, John, Jack, real quick, we got a minute and a half of the two.
In closing, I would just implore the listening public out there, do your own research, go to the website malamamakaha.com, and once you look at the evidence, do your own thinking. We're not here to convince you of anything. All we're asking you to do is look at the evidence and make up your own mind. I wish you well, and aloha.
I just say, wow, your comments regarding the ONR and the helicopter situation, I was thinking of your opening song, The Broken Hearted.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Yeah.
This is sad. But yeah. It's not sad regarding the situation in Makaha. So we're going to win this one way or the other. We would like to have the politicians' help. Mm-hmm. But either way, right will prevail, and doing this right the first time will.
Right. Okay. Guys, I appreciate you. Anytime you want to come back, and I
thanks
just
for having us, Carol.
I'm encouraged. I know that the world is still filled with honest people and people that will stand up to government. It's just that we don't have the vehicle or the venue. You call the paper and it may not fall and hit their radar. The newspapers or the TV stations. But that's why I appreciate this station, KWAI.
Yeah.
We can sit here, as long as we're factual and honest and respectful, the station owners and managers will allow us to.
And what we've accomplished here today, it will send a ripple into the hearts and minds of the listening public.
So all of you out there, if any kind of support or if you want to open up a show on the station here at KWAI, give them a call and or go on the Internet at KWAI 1080 AM. So anyway, please hang in there, and we'll talk to you again. And if you don't agree with them, tell them Joe Jordan told you so. Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.